And greetings, friends. A warm welcome to Tomorrow's World program. My friends, what really happens to sinners? Have you ever wondered what God Almighty will do with Adolf Hitler, with Saddam Hussein, with Osama bin Laden, and all the other bad guys? Do you know that there actually is a genuine answer, and that this answer makes sense, and that this answer is not what most churchgoers think? I will give you the real answer in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Roderick C. Meredith asks, what happens to sinners? And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, most professing Christians assume that after death, all people go either to heaven or they go to hell. But the real teaching of the Bible makes a lot of sense if you believe what it actually says, not what human tradition says. The real answer as to what happens to sinners is bound up in another question. How many of this earth's inhabitants are being held fully accountable now? Take Adolf Hitler, for instance. Remember his arrogance? Remember Hitler's fiery speeches? Remember his pompous attitude? Remember the massive, absolutely massive Nazi rallies where hundreds of thousands virtually worshipped Adolf Hitler? But be honest, do you think Adolf Hitler ever had any real knowledge or real understanding of the true God? Or was Hitler just a blinded human being under the influence of Satan the devil? Notice what God's Word actually says. Turn with me in your Bible. Check up on me. Follow me. It's interesting what the Bible says, you know, about these things. We take things for granted. But the Bible is very, very important, because it is the only revelation in that manner from God to man. We can see general ideas of a creation, of course, and the Creator when we look around us, but the Bible reveals the mind of God. What does God say about this matter of what really happens to sinners? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and beginning in verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. These people's minds are veiled. They are blinded. Satan is called the God of this age. Satan the devil is the invisible ruler of this world. That's who he is. Revelation 12 and verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Would God be fair to eternally torment or to burn alive a person whom he himself allowed to be deceived, and yet Satan has deceived the whole world? What kind of merciless God would that be? Do you believe in a God of mercy, a God of wisdom, a God of fairness? Notice Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 10, Peter is talking. He says, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, he was talking to the Jews here, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. They had healed a crippled man. This, speaking of this Jesus Christ, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only through the name, the authority, the power, the office of Jesus Christ may men be saved. There isn't any other way. And God says that over and over in the Bible. if you believe the Bible now. Of course, if you use your imagination, all kinds of religions around, all kinds of human philosophies. But if you believe this book, and I do, and I've heard all the arguments, I believe there was a great God who inspired this book. I do not think God left us without an answer to life's problems. He gave us this book as His mind, His revelation to humankind. Now notice what God says about this problem. Only through Christ can humans be saved. And yet most people don't know about Christ, never have known about Christ. What did Jesus Himself say? Turn back to John chapter 6 and verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Father has to draw or call human beings. All humans are cut off from God until He supernaturally draws them or calls them to understanding. Otherwise, they're just out there. And God has given this world, when you understand, 6,000 years to go its own way, to develop its own civilization, its own educational system, its own religious ideas, to experiment, to do what man wants, to try out their own ideas until He intervenes. And He's letting men do that. He's not trying to call everyone now. Otherwise, why do we have all these billions of people down through time who have never heard about Christ? And most who have heard about Christ have never heard really very much about it. They don't really understand what He taught, even remotely. And yet Jesus said here, no one can come to me. They're unable to come to Christ. It's not their fault. They're not called. Notice He repeats the same thing in verse 65. Jesus said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. God the Father has to call people to understanding. Even from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Yes, a lot of people didn't get that. They didn't understand. Jesus lost people at that time. But when they went away, did He condemn them? He didn't say anything here about condemning them. He knew they were blinded. He knew they were cut off. It wasn't God's time to call them yet. And notice in this passage that Jesus did not threaten these people. He did not say, you're going to hell if you don't believe in me now. That God is just trying to save everybody now. And if you don't give your heart to the Lord now, you're going to be lost. Jesus said nothing about that. What is the answer, the real answer that the Bible gives to this whole situation? Notice, my friends, Hebrews 9, verse 27, as it is appointed for men once to die, but after this, the judgment. But most people assume that this judgment is the passing of a sentence, that the sentence has already been given and people are either going to heaven or going to hell. It doesn't say that, does it? Your Bible talks about this judgment in many places, and we can only cover a few. But the Bible indicates that it is a time of trying and testing, which after this time, people will come to understanding, and God will grant these people understanding. Notice what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20. Then Jesus began to upbraid the cities in which most of His mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. See, they weren't called yet. They did not repent, even the people where He was preaching to them. And of course, most of the world didn't know anything about Christ. He just stayed right there in the area of what we call Palestine today. And the people off in India and China and Tibet and Africa and, of course, the American Indians and others over here and all these other people around the world, they didn't hear from Christ. He wasn't trying to call them. They had no knowledge that He was even on earth. It wasn't their fault. But He talked to these people. He said, woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. If God is fair, God says through His Son Jesus, these people would have repented if they'd been given an opportunity. But Jesus said they were not given an opportunity. They did not know. They did not understand. Again, is God fair? But I say to you, Jesus said, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Toleration is not throwing them into an ever-burning fire to be tormented forever or burned up. That's not toleration. They're going to have some kind of opportunity in the day of judgment. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to hell. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Even the ancient Sodomites, whom were just absolutely perverted, would have heeded if they'd had an opportunity, Jesus said. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you, because they did not understand. And yet the Bible also says, only through the name of Jesus Christ can men be saved. And the Sodomites didn't hear about Jesus Christ. The people of Tyre and Sidon did not hear about Jesus Christ. So what's going to happen? Are they going to get in some other way? No, the Bible doesn't say there's some other way. What again is the answer? These people will come up in a day of judgment, as we will see. But they will have to repent at that time when they're given understanding, of course, and accept the true Jesus Christ. The true Jesus Christ of the Bible, which even most professing Christians don't understand, frankly. They'll come to know the true God and the true Jesus Christ and His message. That's the answer to all of this. God has blinded the other people. Verse 25 here, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent. Most of the wise and prudent of this earth have never understood. Not their fault. Jesus said it's been hidden from them. They don't get it. And my friends, we need to get it and to understand that these people are not guilty. These billions of people in Asia and Africa and elsewhere who've never understood, never believed in any kind of Jesus Christ. It's not their fault. They have been blinded. I invite you to call or write for one of the most meaningful and encouraging booklets ever written. This booklet, Is This the Only Day of Salvation?, will enable you to prove from your Bible what will really happen to so many billions of confused and blinded men and women. This booklet, The Only Day of Salvation, will open your eyes to God's true plan. So call or write now and request your free copy of this wonderful booklet, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? Just ask for the booklet on the day of salvation. That's all you need. Call now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now, my friends, back to our topic. We were in Matthew chapter 11 talking about, is this the only day of salvation, and how God has blinded most human beings down through time. Notice chapter 11 and verse 24 again. Jesus said, But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Even the Sodomites, the pagans of past centuries, are going to understand in the day of judgment. Again, it is vital to understand that this is Satan's world. It is now under his influence. He has blinded most human beings. They have been deceived. That's the answer when you really grasp what God says in the Bible. Notice now, if you would, turn back to Revelation, the end of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. There's 1,000-year period coming when Christ is going to rule this earth. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, that he should set a seal upon him so that he should deceive the nations no more, so that Satan would no more deceive the nations. Notice that. Satan has deceived the nations of this world, and God's going to have to put them in a bottomless pit so he can't deceive them anymore. They've been deceived. They don't understand. My friends, please picture the 1.3 billion Chinese people. Picture the 1 billion people of India and all these other people around the world. Remember the vast untold billions of people down through the ages who have never even heard of Jesus Christ or the true God. They haven't. They haven't had a genuine chance. How can you have a chance that you haven't even heard the name Christ, or you've just heard about some sweet Jesus thing from some missionary, and yet it's not thoroughly explained, and you have no idea what it is? Many people, frankly, among the Chinese and Indians have accepted Jesus, quote-unquote, from some missionary who offered them a bowl of soup, and they get in line, and then they simply put Jesus in their pantheon of gods. He's just worshipped along with these other gods that they have. They don't understand. Yet God says that all must come to him through Jesus Christ, as we saw back in Acts chapter 4. And it's mentioned, of course, in John chapter 10, where Christ is the door, the only way, no other way to get to God. God is calling people through his Son. Would God be fair to burn these people in some kind of hell who never understood, people who never had a genuine opportunity for salvation? I'm not talking about a second chance. A lot of the hard-shell Bible belters will say, oh, you're talking about a second chance. No, I am not talking about a second chance. I'm not. I'm talking about a first real chance, a first genuine chance to understand and to act on God's truth. That's what I'm talking about, and I'm talking about a God who is fair. Notice what God inspired the Apostle Paul to write. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved. That doesn't mean he'll make them be saved. Don't get that idea either. Jesus did never talk about eternal or, you know, everlasting salvation, universal salvation, I should say. That's not in your Bible. He shows there will be people going in the lake of fire. But the vast majority probably will be saved when they have an opportunity. And, of course, God wishes, it's his desire, that all be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the Greek word here for knowledge is epignosis. That doesn't mean every technical thing about the Bible, but it means the overview. They do need to understand there is a real God, one God of creation, and one Son of God who died for human beings, and that people are cut off from God because of their sins. And sin is the transgression of God's law, breaking God's commandments. And they have to repent of those sins and come to God through the second person in the Godhead who died for them, the one who created them, who's worth more than all of their bodies put together, so to speak, because he made them, Jesus the Christ. And they have to come to God in that way and come to understanding. And most human beings have never, ever been given that understanding. You know that. Yet God has made all human beings in his image. Every human being of every background, all men and women are potential sons of God. The sons and daughters of God are made to be his full sons. He wants us in his family. But God is now allowing human beings to learn lessons by going their own way under Satan's influence for 6,000 years. And certainly all the chronologists admit that counting the time can be off 20 or 30 years because of the accession years of the kings when they count and when they make up these chronology charts. So we still have a few more years, frankly, before the 6,000 will be over. It could be 15, 25 more years, perhaps at the outside. But God will intervene, and he will send Jesus Christ back to rule this earth for 1,000 years, as we just read in Revelation 20. And everyone will then have a real chance for salvation during Christ's rule. But again, what about the untold billions of human beings, beside those living now, but those from the past, who never understood? Will these formerly blinded people, your Adolf Hitlers, Saddam Husseins, others, be given a genuine opportunity to accept the only name under heaven by which men must be saved? Yes, indeed. Notice Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. But, verse 11, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Here are the dead people. What happened now to the rest of the dead? This is after the millennium. People are still dead. The people of past ages. The vast numbers of people in Africa and Asia and elsewhere who never heard the name of Jesus Christ. The dead, small and great, standing. Dead people don't stand up unless they're resurrected, right? This is a resurrection. They stand before God. And the books were opened. Now, the Greek word, biblos, is the exact same word used here in the Greek language for the Bible, the same book. It means the books of the Bible were finally opened to their understanding. They have a chance. The books were opened. And another book, a singular book, was opened, which is the book of life. Oh, they have an opportunity once they understand this book, the various books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the rest of them, when they understand, they have an opportunity then to have their name written in the book of life, to be saved. And their dead were judged according to their works. What works? The works they did back when they were Adolf Hitler or Mao Zedong or some bad guy? No! The works they're going to write during this judgment period once they understand, because God is fair. God is a merciful God. God is no respecter of persons. And if God has called some to understanding and given many, not many, but a few at least, comparatively, an opportunity to know Him, to know the true Christ, to walk with God, to overcome and grow in grace and in knowledge and be fit for His family and to live forever, so He's got to give these people that time of opportunity. He certainly will give them. And so the dead were judged according to their works, which they did during this judgment period, by the things which were written in the Biblos, by the things written in this book, not by people's human imagination. And then the sea gave up the dead in it, the rest of the dead, who rebelled against God, deliberately sinned, and of course others will be burned in the lake of fire. God shows that. They're not going to be given a chance once they have deliberately sinned, as it tells us in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. If you knowingly sin after you've received the knowledge of the truth, that's different. But these rest of the dead are given up, and they were judged, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This, my friends, is a time, this great judgment, for billions to be given real understanding of God's purpose and of the true Jesus Christ and of His real teaching. Then they will be judged according to the works that they perform at that time based on this book, which they then will understand. Be sure to call or write to request a free copy of our truly eye-opening booklet on this very subject. This booklet, Is This the Only Day of Salvation?, will enable you to prove from your Bible what will really happen to so many billions of confused and blinded men and women. Call now and request your free copy of this wonderfully encouraging and informative booklet. Just ask for the Day of Salvation booklet.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Finally, my friends, turn with me in your Bible to Ezekiel 37, the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. I won't have time to thoroughly explain this to you, but you look at it carefully. It talks here about a valley of dry bones, and he explains what those bones are and what God's going to do. These people are resurrected. He puts flesh back on them. He puts sinews on them. He puts his spirit within them. Notice verse 11. God said, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." Hundreds of millions of people, when you understand the house of Israel, goes way beyond just the Jewish people. And of course, Israel's the type of what God does for all humanity. And God is no respecter of persons. So God resurrects the whole house of Israel. And they will say, "Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We ourselves are cut off." Most people have thought, you know, they made mistakes. And when they're brought up in this resurrection, they'll be scared. Those who weren't really called in this age, they'll think they're headed for hell. But God will open their minds and give them an opportunity. And he shows down here, verse 12, "Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel." And verse 14, "I will put my spirit in you." God will put his spirit in these people, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. My friends, this opportunity will be for all human beings, just as we read in Revelation 20. Unrepentant and rebellious sinners will be burned in hell, yes, if they never repent after they've known the truth. But the vast majority of human beings are blinded, and a loving and merciful God will, in the great white throne judgment period, open their eyes and their minds to his truth, to this very purpose of life the true Christian should understand. At that time, the great majority will undoubtedly repent and surrender to God through the true Jesus Christ of the Bible. What a glorious understanding. What a magnificent truth. Thank God for his mercy and his real plan. Again, be sure to call or write for your free copy of this most inspiring booklet, The Day of Salvation, and tune in every single week to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you will gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames, John O'Gwin, and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.